KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joins us to talk about his investigation into lobbyists whining and dining of lawmakers and what's going on in the special session of the state legislature. Austin, thanks for taking the time.
It's good to be here. Good afternoon, Ross.
Just a few moments ago, we heard Republican State Senator Michael Baumgartner call for a ban on permits allowing oversized loads from crossing state bridges they might hit, as happened in the I-5 bridge collapse. Is this apt to get a lot of support?
Well, you know, as you noted, it's a special session. Time is running out. And in talking to Senate Transportation Co-Chair Tracy Eide, she's the Democrat. There's also a Republican co-chair. She told me today that she's a little concerned about moving really quickly without fully understanding the implications to moving, for instance, Boeing parts through the state. If you do restrict certain loads to certain bridges, she's just worried about the implications. And she mentioned that she thought that some of these changes that Senator Baumgartner is talking about might be able to be done through rulemaking on the part of the agency and might not require the legislature to act. I will just add that she is continuing to push for a transportation funding package, that gas tax measure, and she wants to put more money into the preservation and maintenance of bridges in that package. And that's still a top priority of the governor in this special session that's winding down.
The state legislature lost one of their own this week. Wednesday, Republican State Senator Mike Carroll of Lakewood died at 69 from complications related to treatment for pre-leukemia, a blood disorder. Of course, this is a personal tragedy for Carroll and his family and friends. But there are political implications to this happening at this moment, aren't there?
Indeed, there are. The chair of the Republican Party, Kirby Wilbur, told me it's a delicate situation. I mean, the death of Mike Carroll rocked people back on their heels this week because he was getting treatment. They thought that he might pull through this, and then he very quickly, I guess, succumbed to a lung infection. And he's been in the legislature for almost 20 years, very well known for his work in corrections and public safety. So this people took it are taking this very hard. But the Republican Party immediately started working to figure out how to fill the seat because ostensibly, right now, you have a 24-24 tie in the state Senate with Lieutenant Governor Brad Owen, a Democrat, a potential tie breaker, and the day's running out in this special session. And so the Pierce County Republicans already have three names. There's a plan to get these three names to the Pierce County Council very quickly. It's possible you could see somebody sworn in as early as next week. And in fact, Tim Iman, the initiative guru, has got an email circulating this week for people to email the Pierce County Republicans and say that this is an emergency, move quickly on this.
Austin, seems pretty quiet down there in Olympia. Aren't they supposed to be writing a budget?
It does seem quiet. On the other hand, today there's a hearing in the state Senate that's been going on for a couple of hours on drunk driving legislation, also on an estate tax matter. The House Democrats this week passed what they call an estate tax fix that they think will save the state a significant amount of money and could be part of the final budget. But the governor did put out a statement this week saying they got to pick up the pace. We expect to hear something more from the governor later today. And the reality is, if they don't have a deal by next week and the end of the special session, the 30 days comes up the following Tuesday, I think, they start to run out of time just in terms of getting the budget through the process. So pressure is building. That clock is starting to really run out at this point.
Now, there's a new revenue forecast out soon that tells the state how much money it'll have to spend. Are lawmakers maybe dragging their heels, hoping for better news that will make it easier to finish this budget?
You know, there's been some speculation that that's happening, but I have heard from budget writers that that's not the case. In fact, House Budget Chair Ross Hunter told me that he wants to get out of town before the caseload forecast comes out, and that's usually about a week beforehand, and that's basically tells the state budget writers how many more kids are going to be showing up for school, what the additional Medicaid costs are going to be. He doesn't want to see that one, and I don't think he thinks that the revenue forecast is going to bail them out. So if anything, probably the pressure's on to not wait around for that. And they've also got the state treasurer saying that if they don't get a budget done, it really puts the state's bond rating in peril for July 1 when the new fiscal year starts. And nobody really wants to test what happens if they don't have a budget. On the other hand, there's no sign of a breakthrough yet.
I'm speaking with KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Austin, you and the AP looked at lobbyists' entertainment of state lawmakers, and you discovered a rule adopted to make it easier to figure out who's getting what, but it turns out it's never been implemented?
Well, this was about 18 years ago. The law changed to require lobbyists to report the per-person amount of the entertainment. So you take several lawmakers to dinner. Somebody has a salad and a glass of milk. Somebody else has the $30 T-bone. You would reflect that. Instead, what often happens is the lobbyists just report a total amount, and really you can derive from a methodology standpoint, kind of get a sense of what happened and a pretty good sense of that by dividing evenly. But technically, under the law, they're supposed to be doing this on a per-person basis. And we found that very often that's not happening. With some exceptions, some lobbyists are very diligent about doing that.
What would we learn if Morton rule was truly followed?
Well, you would certainly perhaps have a clearer picture of how much to assign to each lawmaker. And the reality is that what this reveals more than anything is that the state's Public Disclosure Commission isn't auditing these reports. They come in, they're paper reports still, and there's no staff, the PDC says, to actually audit them, and they haven't done an audit in nearly a decade. And as a result, we started detecting problems. And let me give you a specific example. If a meal is over $50 for the lawmaker, they're supposed to report that on their personal annual conflict of interest statement. And we found cases where that hadn't happened. And that's because the lobbyists didn't send a memo to the lawmakers, who then didn't put it on their reports. And I asked Toby Nixon about this. He's a former state Republican House member, and he now heads the Washington Coalition for Open Government. And he said oversights and reporting like this really matter.
The main thing the public loses by having that reporting not be done is that they don't have a clear picture of the level of influence that's at least attempting to be exerted on legislators.
And so what's the solution? I mean, that's the obvious question. Well, there is a proposal from Democrat Jim Moeller, who is the Speaker Pro Tem, he's from Vancouver, Washington, represents Southwest Washington, and he basically has proposed to charge a fee to lobbyists to fund an e-filing system so that this would all get inputted electronically, and then it would also all be sortable and searchable, and you could actually look up your own individual lawmakers, how much they're receiving from an entertainment from lobbyists, if at all. And he's basically making the case that this is an important 21st century step in a modern state like Washington, a technology-driven state, and he just wonders why his bill hasn't moved on the floor of the House of Representatives yet. And here's what he said about that.
The public deserves to have a window into where that money goes and who's taking whom out, who's entertaining whom.
I will just note, Ross, that we waded through thousands of pages of reports for the first 4 months of this year. It took more than 3 weeks of inputting this and assessing it in just that fashion. Who's doing this the most? And we also discovered that there's just lots of problems and not a lot of oversight in this whole process of reporting. And again, I want to say a lot of lobbyists are clearly making an effort, and the PDC even admitted they should have changed their form to make it clearer about how this reporting is supposed to be done, and they acknowledge that they haven't been auditing these.
Austin Jenkins, great piece of reporting, and thanks for joining us again.
You're welcome, Ross.
KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins.